Believe that tonight. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. I thought after a move of God like that, we'd have to pull out the chairs and fill up the foyer. Amen. I mean, when the Holy Ghost is moving, people getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and healed and touched like that, that's Pentecost. I wanted to preach a message one time, and I ain't never preached it. I want to preach a message one day on this is not that.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
But I couldn't say that about the service last night.
All right.
I just believe that that's exactly what they were experiencing on the day of Pentecost.
I believe it.
That's right. Amen. I believe that. I appreciate what God's done around here. I talked to some brothers last night before the service. Brother Daniel come in. And I said, I'm probably going to preach about 3 hours tonight. I said, I've just got so much to preach. And then the Lord moved like he moved. And, you know, this message is still on my heart.
All right.
The Lord began to deal with me, and I don't think I'm going to unload it all on you tonight.
All right.
I feel like that maybe in a couple of services we can get through it all. But I talked to you Thursday night. Told you I wanted to preach. The Lord was dealing with me about preaching on spirits on assignment. How many remember me talking about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, I want to preach to you tonight about spirits on assignment, but I probably be going on into some other services if the Lord should allow that. But I want to read tonight a book of Mark, chapter number 5. We want to thank you for everything you're doing for us. We just falling in love with you. And we pray and hope that we're as much of a blessing as you are to us. It'll be hard to meet that. But we thank you for your giving and for your compliments and for the food and everything that you've done. But I just feel very heavy on my heart to preach this. And I've never preached a series of messages like this. But just something that I feel like God really has impressed on my heart. The book of Mark chapter 5, amen, Mark chapter 5 is where I want to begin to read. And then I want to turn to the book of Luke, amen, the book of Luke chapter 22. Mark chapter 5, a little bit of reading, but I just want to get this out there. Mark chapter 5, beginning to read verse number 1. The Bible said, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Amen. I want to get into the rest of this story later on, but I want to stop right there tonight, and I want to go over to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter number 22, verse number 31. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31, Bible said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
I want to preach tonight on those spirits on assignment.
All right.
Amen. It's a very sad story we read in Mark chapter number 5.
All right.
About a life molested by hell. Amen. It's
a
very serious message I want to preach to you tonight. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask God to help us tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that it's not by might. It's not by power. I know it's by your spirit. God, I'm asking you here tonight. Give us that anointing, God, that doesn't need a pat on the back. God, give us that anointing that stands alone, knowing it's the word of God. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to move in every part of every heart. I'm asking you to touch every life, God, every pew, every situation, every family. God, would you help us, Lord, and strengthen us. God, in this service, Lord, help us to do what you'd have us to do. Be obedient to your voice tonight. Lord, we're going to praise you and thank you and glorify you for what you do here tonight.
In
Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Very sad story about this man of Gadara. Amen. But I want to ask 4 questions. And I won't get all to them all tonight. But I want to ask 4 questions. Where is he? How did he get there? How does he get out? And how does he stay out? Amen. Where is he? How did he get there? How does he get out? And how does he stay out? Amen. I want to begin to talk to you about where he is. We begin this chapter number 5 of the book of Mark. We find that the disciples and Jesus have just come over the Sea of Galilee. We know by reading the Bible, reading the Word of God, we find that a storm arises as they're passing over to find this man of Gadara. And we know that a great storm, and it looked like that everything was going to be lost. And we know the story. If you've read your Bibles, you know the story. How Jesus stepped out and spoke peace to that storm. But we wonder why sometimes storms come along on our journey to do the will of the Lord. We wonder why sometimes we have to face certain situations and certain circumstances. We wonder why we have to go through some things. But sometimes those storms that we don't understand, we won't understand until we see the miracle on the other side. That we don't understand those things sometimes we have to face just for the sake of what God wants to take us into. Sometimes we don't understand, but I tell you, if that man of Gadara could have been on that ship on the Sea of Galilee, he would have said, "Hold on, boys." He said, "This storm is for me." Hallelujah. Amen. You're not going through this for no reason at all, but you're going through it because there's something I'm about to bring you into. That's right. Amen. And we find that they begin the chapter with, or they begin just coming through a storm. They begin, amen, one of the greatest things and one of the greatest victories we find in the book of Mark, amen, over these spirits of hell started with somebody going through a storm. That's right. Amen. You wonder why you're facing what you're facing. I preach a message one time on there's a cause for the pause. We wonder why we look around and can't see Jesus nowhere. We're in the midst of the sea, tossed to and fro, and the rains are beating on our head, and the lightning's flashing, and the thunder. That's because you're about to enter it. Listen, if God would have come and brought Lazarus and healed him when the first time he heard it, I God, it would have been an ordinary healing. If God would have raised Lazarus from the dead right when he died, it would have been an ordinary resurrection. My God, but God's going to let you go through some stuff to let you see an extraordinary move, my God, of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad sometimes God lets me go through some things just so I can know that he loves me enough to bring me out of the most desperate situation. He loves me enough to show his power. Listen, God ain't trying to do something ordinary in you. I'm trying to do something extraordinary in you. God ain't trying to do just a normal thing. I'm trying to do an extraordinary thing. Amen. God's not trying to just do the natural. God's trying to bring you in to the supernatural. That's right. Amen. And we find that the storm begins with the storm. And as they're passing over the Sea of Galilee, they come to the other side of the sea, and they step on the shore of the country of the Gadarenes. And they step out on that shore. The Bible said that Jesus comes in contact with a man that had an unclean spirit. Amen. Now, some of you may not understand this, but I want to let you know, we all had our unclean spirits. That's right, amen. You can sit there sanctimonious if you like and put your thumbs in your holiness standard and say, "I've never had anything wrong." But the fact is, God delivered a lot of you from many unclean spirits. Amen. And we find this man who had unclean spirits. A man that was so driven by God, the things that he had given into. And we find the Bible tells us and explains to us that he was a man that could not be bound. They tried to bind him with fetters and with chains. And we know the spirits, my God, would break those chains. But you got to understand, my God, that this man is like a lot of us. He didn't want to be tied down.
Amen. Well, you know as well as I do, we don't like rules. We don't like somebody telling us what we can do and what we cannot do. Amen. You're driving down the road, said, I wish the speed limit was a little more. Amen. Come on now. Amen. We're going and going through things, and we just don't like the rules sometimes. This man's, I got feeling of not wanting to be tied down. It's not an abnormal emotion. It's an emotion that every man in this house knows about. I, God, you ask, you let that wife tell that man he needs to take out the trash. Amen. Something rises up in him because he thought that when he moved out of mama's house and he lost all of his chores. Amen. Right. Now, and the fact is that we just don't like rules. And we don't like to be tied down. Amen. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. The Bible said night and day he cried and cut himself with stones. He was constantly beating himself up. He was constantly defeated. Night and day he cried and he wept. Night and day he mutilated himself. Night and day he tormented himself. Night and day, I feel the Holy Ghost. Night and day, my God, he beat himself up and he beat himself down. And there's folks in this house right here tonight. Night and day you're weeping and crying. Night and day you're beating yourself up. Night and day you're tormenting yourself. Night and day you won't leave yourself alone.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
My. I've got a good friend of mine who's been saved for many, many years, never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I don't understand that. Amen. But he is constantly always weeping and crying because of the sins that he committed in his past. Amen. And I've told him numerous of times, in service, out of service, I said, Thurston, Brother Thurston, you need to leave Thurston alone. My God, and I'm telling you tonight, there's folks sitting in this pews. You need to leave yourself alone. My God, you need to quit walking in that self-pity and that self-defeat. I ain't got no shouters tonight, but amen, I'm telling you tonight, this man, night and day, night and day, night and day, well, night and day, night and day, he tormented himself. Night and day, night and day, he beat himself up and he mutilated his own self. God have mercy. Amen. Where is he? Where is he? Amen. He can't be bound. He's weeping, crying night and day. He's mutilating himself. God, but the Bible said there came a man, God, that dwelt among the tombs. Amen. He was dwelling. He had his dwelling, the Bible said, among the tombs. I want to let you know, we all have our little tombs that we run into every once in a while. Amen. When things get bad, my God, we have our little tombs that we run into. That's right. Amen. We have our little places of refuge and our little places of escape. Some men dive into a career to try to block out the battle of their life. Some young people dive into entertainment. I got to try to confuse or try to baffle out. I got the noise of everything else. I want to tell you, everybody, under the sound of my voice, you have your little caves and you have your little refuges, and we've all got our little tombs. Oh, I ain't got no help tonight.
Come on, brother.
Come on. Oh, yes, amen. Every Peter has his boat. Every Elijah has his juniper tree.
Come on, come on.
Every Elijah has his cave. That's right. Amen. Every Jeremiah has his pity party. Woo, glory to God. I prayed tonight. I said, God, give me the anointing that doesn't need a pat on the back, and I'm feeling it. Amen. Because you know why? Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that everybody on the sound of my voice, you have your little places. I got that when you get discouraged, ain't it amazing? I got sometimes when the battle rages, instead of turning to God, we turn to everything else. Amen. Instead of running to Him, we run to everything else. Come on now. Amen. Instead of running to the presence of God, my God, we run to something else, and we find ourselves dwelling amongst the tombs. We find, my God, have mercy. We find ourselves beating ourselves up. My God, we find ourselves crying and moaning night and day, and we're dwelling amongst the tombs of our own life, and we're dwelling in the little refuges that we've made.
Yes.
Where is He? He's amongst the tombs. Amen. He's amongst the tombs. A tomb, amen, in the Greek means a memorial, a grave, a sepulchre. Amen. You know what a tomb is? A tomb is something where we stick somebody that we know ain't coming back. My God, have mercy. Amen. I'm telling you what a tomb is. Tombs are made for men who won't be back. Amen. Tombs are made for women who won't return. Tombs are made for people you'll never expect to see again. Amen. When you are placed there, men are convinced that you'll never come back. When you're placed in that place, my God, men are convinced that you'll never return. Amen. But something inside of this man, when Jesus stepped on the shore of the gut, my God, when he stepped on the shore of Gadara, something inside of this man made him come out of his tomb. But something inside of him made him start running down that shoreline. Something inside of him made him get up from where he was and start running into the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, but he's not supposed to be back. Oh God, what the devil wants you to do is get in your little tomb and start stacking the bricks into
right,
the entrance.
Right,
hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. And start burying yourself.
Right.
Hallelujah. And everything that blocks out everything else.
Right.
Amen. And it wants you to eventually. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
It wants you to eventually block out everybody.
Right.
And everything.
Right.
Until it's no longer a cave that you just went to refuge in. It's a tomb that you're buried in. Our God, and this man, where is he tonight? Where is she tonight? She's amongst the tombs.
All right.
Amen. We know where he is.
Right.
We know he's in his little man cave.
Right.
And we know she's in her little woman cave. That's right, amen. We know that they're trying to drown out everything else. Amen, we know where he is. But how did he get there?
Oh, God.
God help us. We told you about him desiring not to be tied down. We told you about him beating himself up. And we told you about him weeping and crying. And we told you about all these things. Amen. These are normal emotions. See, sin takes normal emotions and feelings and drives them to be abnormal. His running to a refuge was not abnormal for a man to do. Amen. But him running to the tomb is an abnormal thing for a man to do. Him not wanting to be tied down was not an abnormal emotion. Him not being able to be bound, amen, is an abnormal thing. Him being hard on himself is not an abnormal thing. But him cutting himself
is abnormal. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on.
It's abnormal.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I begin to study about those people that cut themselves. I'm just going to take my time.
All right.
I began to study about those people cutting themselves with razor blades and cut their legs and their arms. I read a poem of one. He said, "The pain was on the inside, and I've got to cut myself to let it out."
All right.
I don't know why, but when I was studying this message and I come to this point, I broke down and began to cry. And began to weep. Because I feel like, to the sound of my voice, somebody knows what it is to cut themselves.
All right.
Amen. It's not abnormal to beat yourself up. It's not abnormal to be hard on yourself. That's normal for men and women. We are naturally hard on ourselves unless you're full of pride.
Right.
But to cut yourself is abnormal.
Yes, it is.
It's a work of the devil.
Yes, it is.
All that pain on the inside, you cutting it ain't going to let it out. That's just a pain. That's just a, amen, a lie of the enemy. That's right. Amen. God, it's just a spirit of suicide. That's right. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, I just like to watch myself bleed. It just helps me to watch myself bleed. It just helps me. The pain, the adrenaline is my high. It's the thing that I'm addicted to." Let me tell you something. God, your pity is a normal thing. Amen. That's right. Amen. You not being satisfied with who you are and what's going on around you is a normal thing. But you look at this preacher, you mutilating yourself is a very abnormal thing. Oh, preacher, you don't understand me. I feel like I do understand you. Amen, that's right. Hallelujah. Amen, that's right. I've been there when I felt like if I could just do myself harm, I got, because I'm the one that caused the pain anyway. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I feel like if I could just, amen, do something to myself. Ain't it sad that even holiness people, even people of God, feel like that if they afflict themselves, that God will be pleased and forgive their sin. Let me tell you something. Your affliction, I got you afflicting yourself, never gave you redemption, never forgave you of a sin. I got, I know men that have messed up and made a mistake and fell and sinned, and they prayed 10 hours straight because they felt like if they prayed long enough, that God would forgive them. Let me tell you something. I got, you're like this man right here, this man of Gadara. Amen. It's not abnormal to be sorry. It's not abnormal to feel regret. But it's very abnormal when you start cutting yourself.
Right. Come on, brother Scott. Come on. Help us, Lord. My God.
How did he get there? You ever wondered that? How did this man get here? Yeah. 5,000 devils. How does a man get there? Walking naked amongst the tombs. How does a man get there? God cutting himself. And how does a man get there? God, because there were spirits.
Right.
That were assigned to him.
Right.
To drive him to that place.
All right. Come on.
Somehow, he gave in.
Jesus.
And he gave in. And there were spirits working together to drive him into this place.
Come on.
Ain't it amazing how things work together?
Yeah.
To drive you.
Yeah.
Brother Scott, we shouted last night, "Why are you preaching like this tonight?"
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
Ain't it amazing how spirits work together
Come on.
To drive you into that place? Ain't it amazing how it's not just one thing that's driving you crazy, but it's a bunch of little things that's driving you crazy. It ain't just one friend
that's coming against you. It's many friends and family that's coming against you. That's right. Amen. Ain't it amazing? And ain't one brother that's talking about you. And it's many brothers that are talking. I'm telling you tonight, I'll tell you what it is. It's spirits on assignment. Amen. They have been sent from the mouth of hell to take you out.
Come on.
I was praying. I took Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday to seek the Lord for this meeting.
All right.
And Tuesday, I began to walk in this message.
All right.
I began to walk in it. I received a text message from a wrong number.
All right.
Amen. And when I did, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said it is spirits on assignment. Amen. They have been assigned to destroy my ministry. They have been assigned to destroy my family. Y'all looking at me tonight. Amen. They have been assigned to take me under. Amen. And cause me to make a reproach on the gospel. They have been assigned to you and your children and to your grandchildren and to your brothers and to your sisters and to your fathers and to your mothers. You need to wake up and realize that their spirit has been assigned to you.
All right. Come on.
And he takes normal emotions and drives them to be abnormal emotions. He'll take a passion and drive it to be an ungodly passion. It'll take a zeal and turn it into a rage. God, it'll take, amen, the thrill for a good time and drive it into something that can't get enough. It'll take your normalcy and drive it to be abnormal. And what is this? Drugs ain't your problem. Alcohol ain't the problem. Women ain't the problem. That's just your toy. The spirit's on assignment.
Come on.
How does he get here? Somehow he begins to be wrapped up. Maybe he's like that woman of Samaria. That woman of Samaria became very comfortable with men. She became so comfortable with men that Jesus bypasses her religion and begins to talk to her problem. The woman of Samaria, she meets Jesus, and Jesus begins to talk with her about this well. I got about this great salvation. And what does she do? She begins to talk religion. I got with Jesus. I got, that's right. What does Jesus do? He bypasses her religion and he begins to talk with her problem. Where is your husband? I don't have a husband. You're right, you don't have a husband.
All right.
You've got five husbands.
All right.
And the one you got now ain't your own.
All right.
You got five husbands and a situation.
All right. Come on.
You would have thought that after number one,
come on,
she'd have said, that's it. I'm through with it.
All right.
Then comes number two, and he's Mr. Right.
All right.
And when he's gone, you'd have thought, all right, I've learned my lesson. I'm through with it. But then comes number three.
All right. Come on.
And you'd have thought, well, she's going to learn her lesson after number three. But then comes number four.
All right.
And you'd have thought she learned after number four. But then comes number five.
All right.
My God. And you'd have thought after five, she'd have learned her lesson. But she's right back in the middle of it. And Jesus catches her. In the middle of it. Amen. Let me tell you what happens. Amen. Her desire for a man was not abnormal.
All right.
God, a man's desire for a woman is not abnormal.
Right.
Matter of fact, man, you should desire a woman.
Right.
Man, if you're in the house and you don't desire a woman, let's stop the service now.
All right.
Because it's normal for a man to want a woman.
Right.
It's normal for a woman to want a man. Matter of fact, woman, if you don't want a man, amen, and you want a woman, just stop the service now and cast that out of you. Amen.
Right.
Oh God, because you see, it's a normal emotion. Amen. But the sin and the ungodliness and the spirit, oh God, of hell took her normal emotion and her normal desires that God gave her and turned it to abnormal.
Right.
So it's not just one, two, three, four, five. It's five and one on the way. Oh. God, what happened to this man of Gadara? It didn't, what, just one spirit. It turned to seven. God, maybe he gave in and turned to 14, 21, 28. God, 35, 42, 49, 56. My God, I got 63, 7. My God, it went on and on and on and on and on.
All right.
Because somehow he lost control.
Right, lost control.
Somehow he lost control.
My God. My God.
And he gave in. And he gave in. And he gave in. And the spirits were on assignment. God, the spirits were on assignment.
Right.
Amen. You thought he would stop after the first situation, but he kept on. You would have thought he would stop after the first pornographic scene, but he didn't stop. You would have thought he stopped after the first drink, but he didn't. You would have thought the first affair would have got his attention, but it didn't. Am I talking to somebody tonight? Amen. Oh, you would have thought that it wouldn't have went as far as it did, but something got out of control.
Come on, Brother Scott. Come on.
And now he's in the tomb.
Come on, come on.
He's in the tomb. He's in the tomb. I want to let you know something tonight. Hell has a plan for your life. Just like heaven has a plan for your life, hell has a plan for your life. We read to you in the book of Luke chapter 22 verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may make you rich and give you a Cadillac and give you a career.
Oh, God.
That he may sift you as wheat. I've heard so many people say, well, because I serve God, the devil hates me. Well, I'm a Holy Ghost filled. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and the devil hates me. You're right, but that's only partly true. Amen. Because as a matter of fact, the devil hates you anyway. Matter of fact, he didn't love you before you got saved. He didn't love you when you were full of the devil. That's right. He never loved you. Amen. So many people say, well, they're on the devil's side. You can't be on the devil's side. Amen. Come on, the devil don't want you on his side. My God, I want to tell you tonight, my God, hell's got a plan for your life. He wants you in that tomb, brother. He wants you in that tomb, sister. My God, hear the young people. He wants you in that tomb, and he ain't gonna stop until you're in the tomb.
Right, God, have mercy.
Amen. Hell hated me before I served the Lord. Satan desires to mar the very image of God.
Right.
He looks at me and he sees the image of God. He looks at me, a creature made in God's own image. Cows ain't made in his image. I got lions ain't made in his image. Dogs, cows, no, but man. Made in his image. Satan was cast out of heaven.
Right.
He kept his gift, lost his anointing, cast out of heaven.
Right.
And one day he's watching God.
Right.
And God's down in the earth and he's making beautiful trees like you're in heaven. He's making beautiful flowers like heaven has. He's making fruit trees like heaven has. He's making beautiful waters like heaven has. He's looking at this place. We know it as the Garden of Eden. He's looking at this place. It looks like heaven. How God, he's cast out. And now we find God down playing in the dirt. He's making something in the dirt. And Satan comes and begins to watch God, what he's making in the dirt. He makes five toes here and five over here. A kneecap and a kneecap, two hip bones and a chest, an elbow and an elbow, five fingers here, five fingers there. God, he's looking, wondering, what is he making? God, he sees him build a neck and begins to build a face. The face doesn't look like the face of a cherubim. The face doesn't look like the face of an angel. Matter of fact, the face looks a little bit like God. Amen. I can see Satan tapping God on the shoulder. Say, what in the world are you making? He said, I just made your replacement.
All right.
Hallelujah. Right. And when he sees me walking the streets, and when he sees me walking in Walmart, and when he sees me in the house of God, he don't see nothing but the image of God.
All right.
But the problem is when he sees that sinner man walking the street,
he still sees the image of God.
All right.
And when he sees that prostitute on the street corner, he still sees the image of God. And that's why he tries to mar the image of God. That's why he tries to get you to cut yourself. That's why he tries to get you to put several holes in your body. That's why he tries to get you to put tattoos all over your body. Because he's trying to cover up what God made. And he's trying to mar the image of God. And he's trying to mar what God done. My God, and he ain't going to stop until you get in the tomb.
My God.
But the fact of it is that he's not going to stop when you mar his image.
All right.
That's right. Amen. He's not going to stop. Amen. Till we don't even recognize you walking down the street. He ain't going to stop there. That's because you're out. You may be worshiping the devil. He ain't going to stop there because he knows you still got breath in your body. And the Bible said, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. He knows as long as you're breathing, you can give God some glory. He knows as long as you're breathing, you can thank God for something. Amen. As long as you're breathing, amen, you are the image of the created being of God. And so he's not just going to stop because I get out of the house of God. He's not just going to stop, my God. That's because I quit preaching the gospel. He's not just going to stop, my God, just because I quit going to Sunday school. He ain't going to stop until that breath that God gave me is out of my body.
All right.
He's not concerned about anything else. But getting revenge on God.
Right.
Whether you're saved or not tonight, you hear me. Whether you're saved or not, you're